2 weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas for James Randi's sixth annual Amazing Meeting. Ran into a fellow skeptic by the name of Adam Savage, who is one of the Mythbusters on the Discovery Channel, along with his cohort, Jamie Heineman. Adam and I had a chance to talk there, and one of the things he said to me was, when are we going to be on the radio again? Well, here they are. The Mythbusters are on WLS. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Nice to have you back on the show. This Sunday is the beginning of Shark Week on the Discovery Channel, and you guys are going to kick it off with a two-hour special. And, Adam, if you'll hang on for just a second, I got to go to Jamie first, because I've seen you in the water with sharks before, and I think you are the one who wanted to go back with these guys. Am I right?
Well, I love sharks, so, you know, yeah.
And what are the myths you're going to be busting about sharks on this two-hour special?
Well, we try to look at everything from left field, a slightly different angle on shark myths, because Shark Week's been going on for 21 years. We hosted it in 2005. So this time we started to take on phrases like, you always hear that people thrashing around will make a sound similar to an injured fish, which attracts a shark. And we wanted to know, does the sound of an injured fish actually attract a shark? So we tested that. We've heard about certain shark repellents, like magnets and hot chilies, which is, in fact, probably the oldest shark repellent being used by Central American Indians 2,000 years ago. And then we finished off by building a 19-foot-long robotic shark whose mouth I climbed into while Jamie gleefully controlled him dunking my head in and out of the water in San Francisco Bay to find out, if you're being thrashed around by a shark, can you find his eyes to thrust your thumbs in and stop him from biting you?
Yeah, I'd be watching Adam, and, you know, every time I'd see his arm kind of sneak around and try to find the eye, I'd just, like, throw the lever and, like, and I'd, you know, dunk him in the water. It was great fun.
I'm sure it was. I love that idea, because you've already tested on a previous show the idea of punching a shark in the nose to make him go away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Jamie... We sat Jamie on a box of chum in the Bahamas, and he had a swarm of, like, about 20 or 30 white reef sharks, Caribbean reef sharks, just coming at him strong, and he kept on doing a little boxing move.
Yeah, there's sort of a problem with that because, you know, they've got this bony, pointed nose, and if you hit them in the nose, it's like, like as not, you're going to glance off, and you end up with your hand in their mouth, and that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
The thing we'd always heard from shark divers was, go for punching them in the nose, and if that totally doesn't work, stick your bloody stump in their eye.
We also have to point out that the last thing we ever want to do is hurt a shark, you know, but punching a shark underwater as far as any, I mean, they were just looking at me like, what are you doing? You know, we didn't actually hurt them.
I'm just making a note here to contact the Grand Ole Opry, because if there isn't a country song called Stick Your Bloody Stump in His Eye, there ought to be. Now, I remember an episode, I think it was last season on Mythbusters, where you guys made a moose. Was it hard to make a shark?
Actually, I'd say that making the shark was one of the most fun builds we've ever done. We found a taxidermy place in Florida that sold us a 17-foot-long great white shark fiberglass shell. We got it delivered to the shop here, which was no small feat. It's quite a big thing to ship. And we promptly cut it up, put a bunch of hinges in it, some hydraulics, and 4 days later, we had a very reasonable animatronic shark.
Now, I know you don't want to give away the ending of the show, but at any point, do we have a Roy Scheider-like exploding shark moment?
We do not. We actually, interestingly enough, we filmed an exploding shark moment for Shark Week, but we ended up with so much material, we ended up moving the exploding shark off to an episode that'll happen later on this season. We have, amazingly, no explosions in this Shark Week.
That is one of your favorite things to do on the show. Building stuff is fun, but blowing it up is better, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, there's nothing like 500 pounds of high explosives, you know, to kind of wake you up in the morning.
What's your favorite explosion?
For me, hands down, it's hot water heater.
And this didn't involve any kind of actual explosives.
No.
It was part of the cool thing about it because, I mean, everybody's got these things in their house, but, you know, if you mess with them, things can happen, and the amount of energy that comes out of that can actually almost take out your whole house.
Yeah, I should explain. The myth was that somebody's hot water heater blew up and shot like a rocket up through the roof of their house, and we were dubious about that, so we got a bunch of hot water heaters, a small 20-gallon one, a 40-gallon one, and then a 55-gallon one. And when we disabled all three or four safety systems and heated the hot water heater up until it failed, that thing launched through the roof of a code-built house at 350 miles an hour, flew probably 600 feet into the air, stayed aloft for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
It was great video, especially with the high-speed camera, and I particularly liked the look on your faces. You were as shocked as anybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that happens repeatedly on the show. You know, we take all the safety precautions we can because, man, you never know what's going to be absolutely lethal.
We should point out with the water heaters that, you know, while this can and actually has happened, you have to work pretty hard to make it happen.
Yeah.
Water heaters are built so that, you know, they've got safety this and safety that, you really have to mess with them very seriously to have this happen. So it's not something you need to worry about.
You need Adam and Jamie to jury rig it, and then things can start being fun.
Exactly. Worst case scenario has been our stock and trade for 6 years now.
Now, before you guys started doing this show, you both were in the business of doing special effects for movies and model making for movies and all sorts of things like that. Since this show has become so popular, and I know you're going out and you're talking to groups all over the country, and you're very in demand, do you get to do any of the special effects work anymore?
Not so much. I mean, my business here, which is where we film the show, has been pretty much taken over by MythBusters. It's and I have to say, it's a lot more fun. We're not just faking. In fact, we don't fake anything. It's real stuff, and so
it's the opposite of film special effects, where you're always faking something. For us, we're always building something in order not to fake it.
Do you still have studios come to you and want you to do things, though?
Well, I've actually actively turned these things down because you know, MythBusters itself is just it's more than a full time job. It's part of the blessing of having a successful show that they want as much as they can get, and it takes everything. So commercials and doing commercials and running the show at the same time, it's like having two alpha males in the same room at the same time. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and Adam, you've told me that the success of the show now is very dependent on the online component of fandom, right?
Oh, yeah. We have a huge fan base that's incredibly active online, and actually the interaction with them, I think, provides a fantastic amount of editorial content for the show. When we get something wrong, the fans are very quick to let us know that our research or our methodology was flawed, and often as not, we will go back and retest. We do revisit episodes 3 times per season, about once every 10 or 12 episodes, and the fans are very, very vocal, and they're very passionate about the show, and they're very passionate about just the things that we love about the show, which is that the scientific methodology is correct, that the conclusions are ones we can stand by, and that, you know, there's a good, fun explosion in every episode.
Well, the online thing also is something that's very basic to the show. This whole thing about urban legends and myths is rumors and ideas that spread in an uncontrolled way, and they may start out. In fact, usually for us, they start out with a grain of truth, but they get twisted in the retelling of it. And the internet is just like it's absolutely perfect for twisting things around. By the time millions of people have gotten a hold of something,
do you still have people who want to donate things for you to blow up?
Oh yeah, I had someone who wanted to let us blow up their house just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they're always wanting to give us their cars that they don't want anymore. It's like, I want somebody to call up and say, I've got this Lamborghini that, you know, it's really nice, it's in perfect condition, but I just don't want it anymore. Will you guys take it?
I will say that as far as the online contingent goes, we have ourselves now been the subject of several urban legends. I think both Jamie's and my untimely death has been reported greatly exaggeratedly on the internet several times since we've started doing the show.
I'm going to start a new rumor that Jamie drowned you with a shark. When does the new season of Mythbusters debut, guys? I know you have this two-hour special on Sunday night. When does it go back to its regular Wednesday night slot, and we get to see episodes every week?
Well, the following Wednesday, I believe we start airing 11 new episodes all in a row, starting with the NASA moon landing hoax. We take on whether or not NASA faked the moon landing, which is one of the ones the fans have been wanting us to do for years. And, we've got an idiom special. We've got some more fantastic stuff coming up this season.
Did you use our friend Phil Plait for the moon special?
Phil Plait was absolutely one of our key consiglieres during the moon special. And I'm going to see him at Comic-Con this weekend. And he's itching for the episode to air so he can actually blog about what he talked to us about and about what we did.
Very cool. Well, I'm a big fan, and it's always a pleasure talking to you guys, and I appreciate you taking time to come on this morning and promote the beginning of Shark Week on Discovery Channel on Sunday night, and I'm looking forward to the new season.
Paul, thanks for having us on. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Adam Savage, Jamie Hyneman, the stars of Mythbusters. Sunday night's two-hour special will be on the Discovery Channel, and then the following Wednesday, they're back with the first of 11 new shows. It is 8:22 at the Big 89, WLS.
You get out of here before I call the police. You're the shark, and you know it.
Wait, I'm only a dolphin, ma'am.
A dolphin? Well, okay.
More with Paul Harris in for the vacationing Don and Roma coming up with traffic and weather next on 890 AM WLS.